Well, I'll start right off in 1 John, if you want to turn there. First John 2, in verse 6, says, "Whoever says, 'I abide in him,' ought to walk just as he walked." In 1 Corinthians 11, in verse 1, we're told to be imitators of me as I am of Christ. And then go back to 1 John 3. And starting in verse 1. "See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved," this is Christ talking to us, and he just said, "Beloved." You ever thought about that word, beloved? Simplify it. Be loved by me. "Beloved, we are God's children now. What will we be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure." So we just read that we are to walk like Christ, imitate him, and as a child of God, be growing into the purpose that he created us for. And as we go about this imitating and growing towards purpose, there needs to be a casting off of the crud, the debris of this world, so that others can see and have hope of Christ through our example and love. Now turn to Matthew 28. Matthew 28 and verse 16. "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee and to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" You and I were called to be disciples of Christ. The goal of our discipleship is not simply passing out information. It's transformation. Our calling, again, is to become like Christ that we may be able to disciple others to become like Christ. There's three key elements, or what we'll talk about today is these elements are environments that are needed for true discipleship. The first environment we're going to talk about is the row. Look where you're sitting at today. You're sitting in a row. Most congregations, most appointed times with God, we tend to do that. So this is the environment we're talking about for the moment, the row. I got a snippet of Mark Jones. I don't know who he is. He has a blog, though. I found a snippet of his. And he says this. He says, "Knowing Christ involves knowing his people. We are united to him. You cannot conceive of Christ apart from his people, for his people are the fullness of him." That comes from Ephesians 1, verse 23. He continues, "The language of husband meaning Christ, and the bride, meaning the church or the body, dominates the pages of Scripture. There's a well-known saying from an early church father, Cyprian. You cannot have God as your father if you will not have the church as your mother. In the same way, one cannot claim to love Christ while hating his bride. Why? Because Christ loves his bride. And if Christ loves his bride, are you or me in any position to think and act differently? The word is love, not tolerate, but love. Romans 8, verse 29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. Oh boy, now we're being called family. This is going to hurt a lot, isn't it? Some come from a background of a very loving and an engaged family. These individuals have trouble relating to dysfunction. When they come across it, they tend to want to run or hide from it. Some come from a family background where the family is so dysfunctional that it's hard to use the term family. These individuals have a tough time trusting or relying on others, and therefore they tend to throw up barriers so that they won't be let down again. Despite the challenges of family, we are to become united. We're to care for one another. We're to protect one another. We're to love one another. This environment of the row. That we sit here in today is where we initially spend time learning how to be family and then getting to know and treat each other as family. The term again is love. Luke 4 and verse 31. He went down to Capernaum, a city in Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astounded at his teaching because he spoke with authority. So now we're back in this church setting, this congregational gathering. He taught, Christ that is, and they listened. And it's not stated, but I think we can read between the lines and realize that there had to be discussion after he was done speaking, because it says they were astounded. And just like you and I, when we're astounded by something, we have to share somebody, or we have to somehow engage somebody else. It's like, did you hear that too? So we know that was going on. And I wonder if at times Christ did speak in strange ways to some people anyways, just so that he would get that to happen. Because he wanted the body to come together. In Luke 5 and verse 17, one day while he was teaching, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were sitting near. They'd come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And just as some men carrying a paralyzed, just then some men carrying a paralyzed man from a bed, they were trying to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and they let him down with his bed through the tiles into the middle of the crowd in front of Christ. When he saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven you." So again, we're in this row, atmosphere, environment. We see, yes, there's teaching going on, there's hearing going on, but there's some other things going on. There's also physical and spiritual healing going on. What does it take to build or rebuild or strengthen a life or lives? Lives that are broken or lost. If we think about who God calls through any of these doors to any of these congregations around the world, is it always the most well put together human being? Pretty rare, isn't it? Usually everyone that walks through the door has something about them that's broken, including me. For that reason, we need to get to know, try to understand one another. Despite how hard it is, we need to have some compassion. Oh, patience too. And this isn't just head games. Oh, yeah, I feel kind of sorry for them. Wishing they weren't going through that. No, we have to take it a step further. We have to be willing to serve each other. And not on the lowest, not on the simplest level. No, we need to sacrifice for each other. Be willing to give whatever we can to help them through. While we're sitting here in this row, in the congregation, in the body, we're learning and honing our skills to be disciples of Christ. And when we leave this setting, this environment of the row, we should be more likely to forgive, trust, give, serve, be compassionate, just like Christ. Because we should be learning it here so that we can go out there and do the same thing. And when we leave this environment, the row, we should be less likely to try being the center of attention. Less likely to harbor grudges, be demanding. Less likely to seek recognition. Less likely to buy with money that we don't have. Less likely to have despair during those trying situations. Again, this environment of the row is where we come to hone our skills to becoming like Christ as well as becoming his disciples. You should think about this. Does Satan want us sitting here, showing up every week? See, God's word is taught here. God's spirit is here. That means God's power, his protection is here. Yeah, Satan wants none of that, does he? So is he going to try hindering you? Or are you going to let him hinder you from being a major role in the row? We can't let Satan to deceive us. From time to time, I'll hear someone say, I'm just too tired to go to church today. I think I'll stay home and I'll keep it quietly there. Satan just won. He wants you tired. He wants you to keep away from the environments that will heal and strengthen you. When we forsake gathering of holy convocation, which is commanded, the environment of the row, we are not honoring or learning how to be a disciple, let alone actually being one. Hebrews 10:24. says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more, the more, as you see the day approaching. And that phrase that we see here in the Greek, assembling of ourselves together, that's made up from two Greek terms. One says it's a gathering together in one place. The religious assembly of Christians. The other Greek word that's used there in combination, it's a complete collection, specifically a Christian meeting for worship, assembling, gathering together. It's talking about the row. Could that mean a dinner on Thursday night with brethren? Yeah, it could. But Hebrews 10:24 is very specifically talking about a gathering of the body. Leviticus 23, verse 3. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day, the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all of your dwellings. That word, holy convocation, mikra in Hebrew. It's a sacred assembly, a reading, a public meeting, a rehearsal. There are times when someone does not have the ability to gather in the environment of the row. Your health could be one of those factors. For one of our families this week, it's the unexpected loss of transportation. Many churches today offer live streaming. I don't see a problem with that. It is a true benefit to someone who has the right reasons, in God's eyes, not mine, for not being with the body on that Sabbath. However, I think today, way too often, it becomes a crutch to one that should have been amongst the holy convocation that God commanded. In the times when one is going to miss the assembling, I think we should ask ourselves, did I put myself in this situation intentionally? Or out of neglect? We read in Scripture that the sixth day is the day of preparation. Is there something I should have done yesterday so that I could convene with the body today? Did I put myself in this situation intentionally or out of neglect? Or am I away from the body or the role due to something beyond my control? My health sometimes isn't 100% in my control. There is going to be some extenuating circumstances from time to time. But I think we should ask the question, did I put myself in this situation? Because I knew when the seventh day was coming. I can find out where God's people are meeting at, what time, and I can probably figure out a way there in most cases. These days, situations like this, or the question like this that I have to ask myself, I have to consider the fact, would I be comfortable giving my answer if I was standing directly before Christ in the moment? So, are we yielding to God through this environment, the row, so that we are becoming like Christ, that we may disciple others to become like Christ? Let's go into the next environment, the circle. This is where growing takes place inside of tight relationships. Luke 6, verse 12. It says, now during those days, he went out to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose 12 of them, who he also named apostles. So Christ chooses the apostles, disciples that make up his circle. Individuals who will see and hear things that no one else will until they share their story later. Jesus chose the 12 disciples to travel with him and learn from him in real life situations. A lot of our growth can come as a result of life-on-life connections with others who are committed to following Christ. The row becomes much more valuable when the individuals in the row often meet in circles. That Thursday night dinner. So how many in the row, or the bride, or the body, do you spend precious time with outside of this room? Outside of the gathering place? And how often do you do it? How well do you know the needs and or the gifts of others that surround you in the row? Do you visit them? Do you send cards or emails? Do you converse or study God's word with others outside of the Sabbath? Do you share your time, your resources with others as there is need? Again, it's a circle because you're tightly bound and you do know their needs, realize their needs, and want to serve their needs. We're God's family, not simply on the Sabbath day, but every day. And simply being acquaintances for years or decades on end, it's not good enough. And I'm not saying that's what always happens, because I can say right now in this room, I don't have any just mere acquaintances. And I don't think you do either. We truly need to build lifelong bonds with each other. We think times have been tough now. I think much tougher times are coming. If I find myself struggling or in trouble, do I know you well enough that you are one of my first phone calls, rather than my high school buddy who is virtually non-religious? Who's going to help me walk through situations by responding like Christ? Yesterday while I was at work, I got some news that got my blood boiling. I'm at work. I've got 5 or 6 other people around me. I could have went to them, poured it out to them, saying, this is really bothering me. What do you think of it? What would you do? I know how some of them would respond. Maybe all of them. But I didn't go to any of them. I called somebody who I knew would give me a positive Christ-like response. The first words out of them after I told them what was going on or where I was at, their words were, Have you asked God what he would have you do? In James 5, verse 16, therefore confess your sins one to another and pray for one another, so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. We've all seen it. Hopefully we've all been a part of it. From time to time, we're in our circle, and our circle sees something that needs addressing. And I can't do it all by myself. But if I get you to come along, and you say, oh, yeah, I'll help. And I get you to come along, you say, yeah, I'll help. And you, and you, and you, all of a sudden, we show up. What happens? Not just the individual or the situation was helped. The body was helped. And our groom, he's pleased, isn't he? We need a circle of friends with purpose. The purpose of becoming more like Christ, that we may disciple others to become like Christ. Do you have a strong circle of Christ-like friends? Friends that you can truly lean on when you need wisdom? Maybe another viewpoint of understanding? A sounding board? Maybe some empathy? Some true guidance? Are you someone that others want in their inner circle? And again, I'm just not talking about a group of friends. I'm talking about a spiritual inner circle. Are you one that they can trust a Christ-like response from you when they are in need? Most of us here at the moment aren't in this position any longer, but do we consider the raising of the next generation within the body? Our family's going out this evening to meet our new granddaughter / niece for the first time. She's 3 weeks old. She's in the body. Her family's in the body. How much do we rely upon the environments of the row and the circle to be major contributors to especially their spiritual growth and maturity? We ourselves must be committed to becoming Christ-like, examples of light, casting off of the evil of the world so that we can be positive influencers of the next generation of the body. Not simply of the physical children of the body, but also those new believers that God brings in through the doors of the body. There are things that will not be accomplished or fully understand in the role without the benefit of circles within the body. So you and I should be considering, what is it that God's asking us to do or change? Again, the goal of discipleship is not simply information, passing out a little leaflet. It's transformation. Are you, am I, allowing that transformation right now, this past week, this coming week? What is it that you or I still need to change so that we can truly encourage or assist each other to grow in Christ and be more capable of discipling others to know and imitate Christ. Let's go into the last environment now. I call it the chair. What do you do when you don't fully understand what all is making you feel the way you do? Maybe you're irritated, angry. Maybe you're hurt. Maybe you're lonely. What do you do? When you're angry or depressed or tired, you're ill. You're tormented and have been for days or weeks, maybe even years. But you don't really know where all it came from or how it started. Luke 5 and verse 15. But now more than ever, the word about Jesus spread abroad. Many crowds would gather to hear him and to be cured of their ill diseases. But he, Christ, would withdraw to deserted places and pray. If Christ, our Savior, our groom, needed that kind of connection and recharging from the Father or through the Father, how much more do you think you and I need that? The greatest gift I can share with others is when I am in a healthy relationship with my Creator Father. The row or the circle will have no real benefit if my relationship with God is non-existing or heavily marred. There's nothing of value to share until we're able to put into use the things that the teacher has been teaching us. When others are able to see Christ in us and working within us, so what's your plan when you need to be quiet and alone with God? Is your plan daily? If not, why not? Because I can assure you, every day there was something that hit you that you weren't expecting. But you should share with him and ask him, probably admit to him, I don't think I responded to that the way I should have. What could have I done differently? Do you have a plan? Do you have a place? I said a chair. Do you remember the movie War Room? She had a prayer closet, didn't she? Called it the War Room. Our friend Robin Clary, here several years ago, was designing a new home. Or her and Tim were designing a new home for themselves. She designed it with a prayer room in it. And I've shared the story, and I'll keep sharing it, but we got to visit one time when it was in the framing stage, and she walked us through. And as I walked through that house, I can't count how many studs in black ink or Sharpie ink was scripture. No one's ever going to see this. But Robin wanted God in her house physically and spiritually. Our son Clay bought a house here a few months ago. It has a little attic area that he set aside as a prayer closet. Where do you go to be intimate with God? It doesn't have to be a prayer closet. How often do you give him that quiet time so that he can rejuvenate you, redirect you, comfort you? Again, it can be in a chair. With that chair, you can be kneeling or sitting. But it should probably be in a quiet place. It could be at a park, on a bench by yourself. It can be in your car. And yes, it can be on the Sabbath. But remember, there's an element of the Sabbath where he commanded us to convene. Don't neglect that. It can be at multiple places and at different times. But are you meeting with your Father often enough? Look out there in the world today. It's broken, and it's breaking worse and worse, second by second. Are there areas that you could make a difference? Absolutely. But you're going to have to be a primary element of each of these three environments. The row, the circle, and the chair. Because as we learn to follow Christ in these three vital environments, our growth should spill over to those who need a relationship with God. And a lot of times that will happen without words. It'll just simply be through your example. As we make good use of our time in the row, the circle, and the chair, our lives now become worth sharing with a lost world. If you were to up your game, your commitment to the row, the circle, the chair, how do you think this would impact your influence with people outside of the faith? Do you really think it would be negative? I'm not saying there wouldn't be negative aspects, because there are people out there that hate us. But just like God protected all of the disciples, he'll protect us. So how are you going to up your game with your commitment in the coming week, months, to the row, the circle, and the chair? How can we better realize the gifts of these three environments, that we might become like Christ, that we might disciple others to become like Christ? Let's finish up with Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, that some would be prophets, some would be evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. To equip the saints, not some, but all of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until all of us come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery or by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is in the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in the building itself up in love.